Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. Thank you for watching today's program. We hope our weekly broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. And with our expanded website at cwh.org, our YouTube channel, and our podcasts, you can find more resources that help minister to you. Thank you for your communication to us. From Iowa, a viewer wrote, "I know Pastor Salem is in heaven with the Lord, but he still comes to me every Sunday. He told me how to bring Jesus into my life a long time ago, and he is still with me. What a blessing that has been." And from Michigan, "Thank you for your continued work on the YouTube channel and website. It is very much used and appreciated." We hope today's message on what happens to us when we die will be of comfort to you. Now, let's join my dad for his sermon titled, "Where Are the Dead?" God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so glad that you're opening the doors for us. We just want to thank you that you invited us into your homes, your apartments, or wherever you live. And we're just going to gather together all over the world, the people of God, and worship the wonderful Son of God. And we're going to talk about something today that is of a great interest to people, and that is what happens to us when we die. And I'm going to tell you, we can know exactly what's going to happen to us when we die, and we get all the information from the Bible, so it's reliable. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But first of all, let's look at Psalm 146, where the psalmist opens, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in man, or the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the Lord, the God of Jacob, to be his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that we can come to you, the great God of the universe, the God of all of creation, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. We thank you that you've always been and you always will be, and that you're open to our prayers and our thoughts and our needs, and that you love us. And so help us today in this service, Lord, just to honor you and to encourage your people everywhere. And to those who do not know you or are far off in that wilderness journey or wherever they might be, help them to come to the light, to come to the Son of God. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing for us today. He's going to sing a song, "Where the Roses Never Fade." And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blue. Never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Loved ones gone to be with Jesus in their robes of white arrayed. And soon their beauty is decayed. But I am going to a city where the roses never fade.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. And that's our trip. We're going to that wonderful place in heaven where there's no sin and there's no sorrow, no parting, and there's no fading away of the roses, or life doesn't get old and we become decrepit and put away so many times. Everything will be beautiful, walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, and rejoicing with Him where the roses never fade. God bless you. And just be sure you're on the right track, and that's the right track is trusting Jesus. Jesus is the way to heaven, and you just ask Him into your heart, and He'll take away your sins, and then just live for Him the best you can. That's the way to travel. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, we get so many wonderful letters, and we read every one. And those of you that have questions, we try to answer them as well. And so we just thank you for writing. And I'm going to give our address at the close of the service, or maybe after in a little while now, I might give I'll give the address. And you can write to us, and then you can send us a gift maybe to help us. Or if you have a question, or if you just want to make a comment, that'd be fine. So our first letter today comes from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And it's a beautiful letter. It's a short letter. I prayed to give all my sins to Jesus. I'd love to get the starter packet. Please help me stay with Jesus. Thank you. And so we have a starter packet, and I'll tell you what it is. It's the packet that Billy Graham gives at crusades when people come to accept Jesus and give their life to Jesus. Everyone is given a packet, and we give you that very packet. And it'll help you get started in the Christian life, and it'll give you some verses to memorize. And so if you want to, if you've accepted Jesus, you write for that packet. Or maybe some of you have drifted away from the Lord, and you're way off in sin. Once you walked with Jesus, then something happened, and you got away from the Lord. And now you're way off in that far-off country like the prodigal son. Well, we're just praying you'll come back today. God wants you to come back. Jesus wants you to come back. Remember that father waiting on the porch, and he saw his son a long ways off, and he ran and he met him, and he greeted him, and he hugged him. And Jesus wants you. If you've drifted away from the Lord, he wants you to come back. And you write in. We'll send you a packet, too. It'll help you get started. Or just any way we can help you in the Christian life, it's the only way to go. And God will bless you and help you along the way. Here's Ogilvy, Minnesota. My husband is a semi-truck driver, and he hit a 3-ton truck accident. He was in the third truck, and the good Lord was watching over him. He was a Christian before, but he is now a different man. He tries to live a Christian lifestyle. He teaches Bible study. And so here's a man who was at an accident, and God spared his life. And this man realized it was the hand of God. And so there are events in life that are turning events that bring us to the Lord. One man I know, and he had a heart attack. And they were giving up for dead. They didn't think they could do anything for him. And God spared his life. and he gave his life to Jesus. And he lived at least 30 years after that, and he became a deacon in the church and one of my best friends, Carp McAmis, and because an event in his life turned him to Jesus. And you know, those things that happen in your life may be hard. It can make or break you. It can make us so that when those things happen, we just turn to Jesus and ask for help. Or when those things happen, we can become angry with God and be done with God. And then you become hard and calloused. And maybe your soul never come to Jesus. So if there's something in your life right now, a hard thing that came into your life, turn to Jesus. He loves you. He's there to help you. He says, bring your burdens. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you help. He's waiting. His arms are wide open for you to come. Wouldn't that be wonderful if many would turn to Jesus right now? Let's see. This is York, Nebraska. This is from the women's prison. And this lady writes and said, I've been locked up or incarcerated since November 5th, 2009. And I am a young Christian walking in the faith of our Lord. Through His grace, I know I am saved. I just wanted to write and tell you that your gospels give me hope. And I enjoy watching and hearing you preach and praise our Lord and listening to the words of praise to the Lord. I was just curious if you have any devotionals or anything that helped me further in my walk. You are in my prayers. Thank you. Yes, I accept that Jesus is my Savior. I cannot do anything without Him. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And it took her to go to prison, but it brought her to the Lord. And we've already sent literature, and we send literature to any prisoner that writes in, and we hear from a lot of them. As I've mentioned, there's a federal prison where we've heard from at least 14 different people, and we sent literature to every one. And we can do that because you're helping us. We don't charge anything. We pay the postage and all. We're glad to do it. We do it for shut-ins, too. And so we just thank all of you for helping us financially to do that and carry on that ministry. Great ministry. Then here's Melbourne, Australia. The pastor's manner with which he preaches the gospel is one I took immense inspiration from, with blessings from Melbourne, Australia. And I'll tell you why they people got help and inspiration. Is because we did two things. We use the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And what we do is we preach from the Bible. That's where the power is. That's where the help is. That's where God is. And it's nothing that I say or anybody else. It's what God says. That's all that counts. And so we preach the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and applies it to hearts. Some He inspires people, and some people He corrects people. Sometimes He goes to the lonely and gives them hope that there's somebody with them, that Jesus will not leave them or forsake them. The wonderful Word of God. And God says, when you preach my word will go forth and it will accomplish the purpose to which it is sent. It will not return unto me void. It's going to accomplish the purpose I have in mind. And that's just glorious, because we know that God is at work, and we don't see everything that's happening. When we get to heaven, we'll see it all made plain, and won't that be great? Let me see. Here's Manchester, Maryland. Just wanted to say, keep up the good work for many years to come. Just keep on that book, and then the Word, the Bible. The only thing that can save the country. I got a lot of fish in the net now after much pain, so we need you now to bring them on home. Keep up the passion. And so, yes, people have come to the Lord, and He's saying we want to help them to grow in grace and in knowledge. And I tell you, I'm not helping them to get to heaven. I'm just telling you the Word of God. But Jesus said, when you open your heart to Jesus, He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all, holds us in his hand. And what Jesus is saying here is that when we come to Jesus and accept him as our Savior, he holds us. We don't hold on to him because we might slip. One old farmer told me one time, when you go, Jesus gets you, his grip don't slip. And that's exactly it. He holds us in his hand. It's not me holding on to Jesus. It's Jesus holding on to me. Because it says, he says, I give you eternal life. You'll never perish. That means you'll never be lost. Never be lost. You accept Jesus, you're saved forever. It's glorious. Here's Rapine, Virginia. I hope I pronounced that right. If I didn't, while you write, let me know. Send a gift while you write, and that'll be fine. I just want you to know where Rapine, Virginia was located. Just ask any hard-working truck driver in America. They have been here at least once in their lifetime. We are the town in Virginia where the largest truck in the state is located, White's Truck Stop in Rapine, Virginia. And so, boy, I'd like to see that truck. It must be something. And I wonder if it runs. It's probably just by the wayside there. And it's maybe a sign. I don't know what it is. But anyway, power to you. And just be walking with the Lord. You truck drivers, we love to hear from you. And you just walk with Jesus and travel with Jesus. St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Little short line, just a simple line. Thank you for loving God and for loving all of us too. And the Christian Worship Hour, we do love you and we care for you and we want you to come to Jesus. And if you are a Christian and you're having troubles, and we want to just encourage you and help you. And if you're shut in and you're lonely, and we hear letters all the time, I'm all alone, nobody's with me, nobody cares, but Jesus cares. And he told us in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And he always keeps his word. He's there. Just believe it. And one more letter from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Thank you for your sermons and encouragement. I have been battling lung cancer for the past 5 months. Your weekly sermons give me hope for a brighter future, whether on this earth or in heaven with the Lord. Please accept this donation. I want to be a part of your wonderful work. Wonderful service to the Lord. And so he prays for us and he gets encouragement because it's the Word of God. And if we were trying to give our word, it might help and it might not, but it wouldn't be lasting. It wouldn't be anything that you could really build on. But here's a man and he knows it's from God. It's God's word and there's power in the word and it'll comfort and strengthen you. So we'd like to hear from you, and if you want to, you could write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we hope that you'll write to us, and we hope that you'll help us support us with this work. We just need your help, we need your prayers, and we need your gifts. And we have a little Bible study we put out. It's called The New Song. The New Song. It's free and postpaid. We send it out every month. And now during the month of September, it is about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a Bible study we use. As many of these people, we get letters from people in prisons where they have Bible studies, little groups together, and they use the new song. We have churches where they use it for their Bible school, for their Sunday school. And it's something that'll help you and bless you. It's all Scripture. Every bit of it is taken from the Scripture. Not a statement made that it doesn't come the wonderful Word of God. So you write to us, a Christian Worship Hour. I'm going to give it again for all of you on shortwave. And we hear so anxious, happy when we hear from you. We hope you'll write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Well, we'd really like to hear from our people on shortwave. They tell us that we cover 90% of the world's population by shortwave radio. So we know that you're there, and we just love to hear from you. And if you want to send a gift, I want to tell you that you will use it in the preaching of the gospel, in the spreading of the gospel, in getting the word of God out to the whole world. And we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books on what we get and what we give, how we spend it, and it's all above board, and you can count on it, every penny going to the work of the Lord. So now you're just praying that you'll ask God what he wants you to do, and Jan is going to play, I'm going to pray, and then you give as the Lord lays it on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who are supporting this work through their prayers and their gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you for your ministry of on that piano. Well, we're reading today from Luke chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And during our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Indonesia. And every week we pray for some area where our brothers and sisters in Christ are dying for their faith. And so we'll pray for Indonesia. So now this is, Jesus is speaking, Luke 16, beginning with 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. But he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. And listen to this. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one rose from the dead. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, this incident here. And as hard as it is and as terrible as it is, yet you are warning us, you are telling us, it isn't something that's going to surprise us when we die. We know it's there, and we need to prepare so we don't go there. And the only way is to be sure that we're not going to that terrible place is that we have to receive Jesus, ask him to come into our heart, take away our sins, and then just love him and serve him the best that we can. And we pray that everyone listening today will put their faith in Jesus. And now, Lord, today we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. And some of them are giving their lives right now while we have this worship service. Some are putting their life and giving their life because they just absolutely will not refuse you. They will not reject you. They will stand for you, though it cost their lives. So we pray for those left behind. We don't pray for the martyrs because they're in your presence, in that wonderful presence of God. But we pray for those left behind, especially the children, the little children. Dear God, I know you'll take care of them. So now in this service, help us just to put all eyes on Jesus, and may your will be done in every life, everyone that's watching us, everyone that's worshiping with us on shortwave. May your will be done in their life and our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And before the message, Barb is going to sing Orphans of God. So God bless you, Barb.
Here among us has not been broken? Who here among us is without guilt or pain? So often by our transgressions, if such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but alleluia, there are no orphans of such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but
there are no orphans of God.
Thank you, Barb. And that's exactly right. When you become a child of God, you'll never be an orphan. He will never turn you away. He will never lose you. We are His forever. Once saved, always saved. That's scriptural, brother, sister. Well, we want to talk about where are the dead. And I want to say, first of all, that I'm going to give quite a few scripture references in this passage. So if you miss them or something, and you'd like to have a CD or a DVD of this message, you can write to us, and I'll give you the address at the close of the service. And then you'll have it, and you can use it for a Bible study. But where are the dead? And we're going to look at the subject in three ways. First of all, where do the dead go in the Old Testament? Number two, where do the dead go in the New Testament before the cross of Calvary? And number three is, where do the dead go in the New Testament after the cross of Calvary? And so, where do the dead go in the Old Testament? Well, the dead go to a place called Sheol, Sheol. And that's a Hebrew word indicating a place for the dead. The word Sheol appears 65 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And it is the same Hebrew word Sheol, but it is translated different ways. It's translated 31 times as hell, 31 times as grave, and 3 times as pit. But mind you, it's always the same word and the same place, Sheol. And so, though it's translated these different ways, it is the same place. Always keep that in mind. The unbeliever or the believer or the unbeliever, the righteous and the unrighteous, all of the dead went to Sheol in the Old Testament. Whether you believed in Jesus or not, whether you're saved or lost, you went to that one place. It is always taught as Sheol, and it's always taught in the Bible as down under, somewhere in the hollow of the earth. For instance, the prophet Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 26 and verse 20, down with those, go down to the pit, Sheol. That word pit is Sheol, to the people of old, and I shall make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth, like the ancient waste places, with those who go down to the pit or Sheol. The Old Testament taught that Sheol was in the lower regions of the earth, and that the good and the evil all went to that place in the heart of the earth. For instance, godly Jacob went to Sheol, and ungodly Korah went into Sheol. They both went to the same place. So then, to sum it up, in the Old Testament, the teaching on the welfare of the soul after death is this. They all went to a place called Sheol. Sheol was in the lower parts of the earth, the center of the earth. It was a place of consciousness, and it was a place of torment for the wicked. Because we'll read in Deuteronomy 32, 22, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns in the lowest part of Sheol. It's a place of torment, but it is also a place of bliss in the heart of the earth. In Psalm 73, 24, the psalmist says that God will receive me to glory. So always keep that in mind. It's in the heart of the earth. It's called Sheol, also different translations, but it's the same place, and it is for the righteous and the unrighteous and so on. So now then, listen to this. Where do the dead in the New Testament go before the cross of Calvary? Because when Jesus died on the cross, it made a dividing point in what happens to those who die in the New Testament. So you have to listen carefully. And if you go to sleep, you're going to miss, you can miss a lot in one sentence. So stay with it. Just be a good soldier and listen with us. In the Old Testament, God gives a few intimations of what happens after death. But in the New Testament, He gives us all kinds of information that happens after death. When we come to the New Testament, God just opens the window. He opens the door. And God gives us a picture of Sheol only in the New Testament, in that it is called Hades. because the New Testament was written in Greek, and the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word for that place is called Hades. So Sheol and Hades is the same thing he's talking about. It's just the one is in Hebrew and one is in Greek. And so in the Old Testament, Hebrew is Sheol. In the New Testament, it is the Greek is Hades. But it has reference to the same place. And let me say emphatically, whether you call it Sheol or Hades, it never, ever refers to the grave. I emphasize that because there's teachings going around that our soul rests in the grave till Jesus comes again. Everything you read of Sheol or Hades, it does not refer to the grave. It refers to a part for the departed spirits and the souls of the unrighteous and the righteous, the souls of those who believed in God and the souls who rejected God. They're all in Sheol until you come to the cross of Calvary. And Paul gives a very graphic picture of this very place in Luke 16, and we just read that. And so he explains exactly what's happening. There you have a Lazarus there in bliss, and you have a rich man, and I want to just stop a minute and say, he wasn't there because he was rich. He was there because he rejected God. Riches don't have a thing to do with it. And so they're there, and they're in a place of bliss, and they're in a place of torture, and there's a gulf between the two. Now that's the New Testament up until the time of the cross of Calvary. And the story of Jesus shows us exactly and precisely what will happen to every last one of us in a split second after we die. Because it says in this story that the rich man died and was in Hades in a section of terrible torment. The beggar died and was in Hades, and the section was pure bliss called Abraham's bosom. It's also called paradise. It was a wall, one and the same. The upper part of Hades was Abraham's bosom, and the lower part of Hades was the place of torment and torture. And there was a gulf that divided the two. When we get to heaven, there won't be any gulf between the saved and the unsaved, because something happened at the time of the cross of Calvary, and we're going to come to that. So stay with us, and we'll see exactly what happens. Now, this story shows us that we never lose consciousness of death. One had pain and one had bliss, and it happened the moment they die, immediately after they died. Look at the rich man. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool off my tongue. I'm in agony in this flame. Luke 16 and verse 24. But the point is, he was conscious. He was totally conscious and he had feeling. The rich man knew where he was. He recognized Abraham. He recognized Lazarus. And in all of this took place 1 second, one breath after he died. And that happens to now, right now. When the moment we die, we're in eternity. There's nothing in the grave. And there's no long valley of the shadow of death. It's a breath. And the valley of shadow of death is only a shadow. It's nothing real at all, only a shadow. You pass through a shadow, not through a valley, just a shadow of the valley of death. And so we're conscious immediately after death. There's no soul sleep here. They're both conscious. And immediately after death, 1 second after death, they're alive. And he remembers that he has 5 brothers. And he says, still alive on the other side. Those 5 brothers are there at the gurney, and they're making the arrangements for the funeral. And this rich man, this other man, he's in hell. And his brothers are meeting with the mortician. They're picking out the casket. They don't even have the funeral set yet. And this man is in torment immediately. It takes place immediately after we die. And then once we have entered the afterlife, there'll never be a change. There's no back door in Hades. Look again, Luke 16, 26. Between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and none may cross over from there to us. No second chance, no turning back. It's forever fixed. No repenting. Once we breathe our last and go into eternity, it's all settled and it'll never be changed. And so that's why you need to make your arrangements right now. And you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell, one of the two. And you decide where you want to go. Nobody can decide for you. I can't put you in heaven or hell. I can't do a thing with your soul. The only one can do anything with that soul is yourself. You decide, I want heaven or I want to go to the place of torment. And if you want heaven, you have to have Jesus, because Jesus is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nobody gets into heaven but through Jesus. He is the door. He is the way. So you decide. The ball is in your court, dear brother, sister. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, I pray that right now you'll call in the name of the Lord and be saved. And you say, I don't know what to say. You just tell Jesus, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you and against God. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you and serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Use your own words. Forget the thee and the thou. Just talk to Jesus. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in. I'll come in. I want to come in. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants to come in, but he can't and he won't come in till you ask him in. Do that right now. You could do that right this minute. And so we really have our memory after death. And he says in Abraham, he talks here, he cries out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, likewise Lazarus the evil things. Now he's comforted. You are tormented. He says, remember, I think that one of the horrible things about those in hell is going to be this thing. Remember, I remember I had that chance. I remember that pastor talked to me. I remember my wife talked to me or my husband talked to me. I remember them preaching that word over and over. I remember the Holy Spirit knocking at my door. I wanted to come into the Lord. I wanted to come to you, but I turned you away. And why did I do that, you're thinking? And I'll tell you why you turned him away. You turned him away because the devil was there. Jesus wants your soul, but so does the devil. And the devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never say that. He will say, wait. Wait till your birthday. Wait till your anniversary. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till next week. He'll never say, don't do it. He'll say, wait. Wait, and all of a sudden, your time comes, and it comes swiftly in the night, like he came to the man in the Gospel of Luke also, and he has all these barns and everything, and he came in the night. In the night, the death angel came, and he says, I want your soul tonight. You better make it right now. You don't know what a day will bring forth. I don't know in my life, and you don't know in your life, and you're very foolish if you take a chance. Come to Jesus right now. Wherever you are, make that prayer, and so that you won't have to be in a place of torment. So let's sum this up. Everyone is gathered in one place, Hades. And part of that place is a place of bliss, and part of that place is a place of torment. There is no second chance for those who enter it, and our eternal state is settled the moment we die. But now let's look at something else. Let's look at where do the dead go in the New Testament? After the cross of Calvary. You remember there are two compartments, Sheol or Hades, and the same place. And the two different parts, one part is bliss and one part is torment. And this is what happens. Both of these compartments of Hades are going to be taken to another place. That's not going to be eternal resting place. It's going to take another place. And one of that place of bliss is going to go into the presence of God. And those who reject Jesus Christ are going to go to the great white throne and the lake of fire. So this is just an intermediate state until the cross is done. And when the first part is when the cross, Jesus died on that cross, he paid the price, then he takes us. And Jesus says he comes into the heart of the earth. And he takes all of those who've trusted him and takes them with him into glory. Remember what he says in Matthew 12 and verse 4? For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12, verse 40. So Jesus' soul descended into Sheol, and there for 3 days and three nights he was in that place of bliss. And then we're told there's a great experience that took place where he took paradise, where he took the bliss, and he took them into glory with God. We see that in Paul's writings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, Paul says he was caught up into the third heaven. That's where God is, the third heaven. Paul's caught up into third heaven. And how? He was caught up into paradise. Now, paradise is in the heart of the earth. But once that cross is there and Jesus sheds his blood and pays for the sins of the world, and he ascends out of that center of the heart of the earth into the presence of God, he takes all of the people in the place of bliss and they go to be with God in heaven. So that when a person dies now, they are absent from the body, but at home with the Lord, not in the heart of the earth, but in the third heaven in the presence of God. Something happened. Paradise was taken up from the heart of the earth into the third heaven to the very presence of God. When did that happen? That happened when Jesus was raised from the grave. And so this is what happened. It's very simple, because before the cross of Jesus Christ, nobody could stand in the presence of God that had any sin. And all of the Old Testament was that sin was covered with the blood of bulls and goats, but it was never washed away. It was always there. And it was just like paying on a loan. Every month, every year, they had that sacrifice. They had that sacrifice. They covered that sin. They covered that sin. And then Jesus went to the cross. And he took all of the sins of the world into Gethsemane. And he carried them to the cross. And he paid for those sins with his own blood. And now they are free from the heart of the earth. And they ascend with Christ into heaven, in the presence of this wonderful God. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And here it's written in the New Testament, and this is what it's talking about, this very thing. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. This is what it says. When he, Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, and then he descended in the same, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, far above all things, and at the very presence of God. And so that's what simply means, that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he ascended into the hell, into the place of bliss, into Hades, the heart of the earth, for 3 days and three nights. And he was with all of those redeemed souls there in paradise. And then after that third day of the resurrection, he ascended on high. Ephesians 4, verses 8 to 10, you can't miss it. He ascended, he went to the heart, he descended into the heart of the earth. And then he ascended up into heaven, and he led captivity captive. They were captives of their sin until Jesus washed it away with his own blood. And he took them to the very presence of God in heaven. And that's why we can say we're absent from the body, but at home with the Lord. And so that wonderful Jesus, that's what happened to the people of bliss. They're taken into the presence of God. But what about the people in the place of torment? That's going to be vacated too. And we have that in St. John writes to us. And he says, Revelation 20, verse 10. He talks what's going to happen to the devil. He says in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then he tells what happens to those who rejected God, who rejected Jesus, those who are unrighteous. He tells what happened to them. He says, and death and Hades were cast into the lake. This is second death. And then Revelation 20, 14 and 15. Listen, my friend, listen to me. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so the heart of the earth is all empty when this is all done. See, this hasn't taken place. Those who have rejected Christ are in the heart of the earth in torment until they come to the great white throne in Revelation 20. And then the devil is cast in the lake of fire, and all of those are aligned with the devil. And Jesus says, you're not with me, you're against me. You're with God or you're with the devil. You're with Jesus or the devil. And if you reject Jesus, you're with the devil. And this is the lake of fire. I just tell you, I want to cry. Because you could have, Jesus died so you wouldn't have to go to that place. And so I have to ask you, are you safe in Jesus? Or are you going to go into that heart of the earth? And are you going to be there until that great day and just suffer there? And then you're going to see that people, all of the Christians, all the believers, all who trusted Jesus, they're going to be taken at the end when Jesus resurrected from the cross. He took them unto glory into heaven with him, and they remain in torment just waiting, waiting, waiting. And when you come to the end of time, when time is no more and the earth is dissolved with great fire and time is all over with, and then they're going to go to the great white throne. And John says that great white throne is there. And he says, heaven and earth fled away. You just left. And all you have is a picture of a great white throne. Judgment, judgment. And all of those who have rejected Jesus Christ are standing there. And there's no place to go and no place to turn. And then it's going to happen. He's going to put the devil in the lake of fire and all of his followers. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I know, I just know there are multitudes of you that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, don't take a chance. Don't go that route. Take Jesus. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. Don't reject him. But you have to personally, I can't do it for you, the husband. Oh, wives would do it for husbands and parents would do it for children. But you're all on your own. And you just pray, Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you. And maybe like Billy Graham says, if there's some big sins that's bothering you, name it. And then ask him to forgive you and promise to love him and serve him the best you can. That's repentance. And we have a turning away from sin to God. And you just thank him then. And I'll see you in heaven. All over the world we can be doing that. And I think that over in the deserts and in the forests and in the jungles and in the cities, wherever the Spirit of God goes, and he goes everywhere, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth. And he's speaking to hearts everywhere, come to Jesus. And then if you do, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And we'll send you literature to help you in the Christian life. Wherever you are in the world, you email us or whatever you do, write to us. We'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. And if you can't do that, read the Gospel of John. Get the New Testament. Start with the Gospel of John. And then you can write to us and help us along. We have to have your help. James said, you have not because you ask not. And so we're telling you, we need your help. And if you think this is a ministry that God wants, then support it. If you think it isn't, take some other ministry. There are other good ministries too. And we pray and pray for us and help us along the way. All of you in the who are in the short wave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And just remember that we are using it all for the glory of God. Everywhere, all of it's used to get the ministry out. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so you don't need to worry about that. You can just send it in and count on it. Or you can give us a gift over the internet, christianworshiphour.com, whatever. And just pray for us and support us the best you can. And be sure that you come to Jesus. And then we'll send you literature and you can get started in the Christian life. Oh, I know that many of you are doing that. I'm just counting on it. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray. We're just praying now that multitudes will open their hearts for the first time to come to you, for you to come into their heart. And those who have drifted away, that you bless them and help them to come back and help them to know that you're really ready to forgive and to forget and to start a new page as can be the land of beginning again for you. And Lord, for the young people having decisions to make, just touch their tender hearts and guide them in the paths of righteousness, that they'll trust you and love you, read that Bible and be active in their church where the gospel is preached. And Lord, to the shut-ins and the lonely and the weary, and just help them to know that you are there. You're right by their side, and you never slumber nor sleep, but you know exactly how they feel. And you are in touch with our infirmities because you are in the flesh with us, and you know what it's like. And Lord, then to those people in the persecuted church, bless them. Help us all, dear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you write to us now. I'm going to put that on again so you can see us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And next week, we're going to talk about heaven, how glorious heaven is. And so you tell your friends, you're going to love it because heaven, oh, I can't wait to preach it. It's such good news. And heaven is for you if you have Jesus. You've got to have Jesus. So you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And the Lord willing, next week we'll be back, and we'll talk about that beautiful city called heaven. God bless you. God loves you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.